He caught hold of it.
Oh,
he caught hold of it. Visiting the sick.
Hope I don't have to use it.
The name Sugya and Bikur Cholim is in Nedarim. That will have a test.
We'll
look it up. There's a couple of daf in there. A lot of really interesting material. Nedarim on the test. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Shmuel. Kolim Avakar Sachoyla Nitzo Midina Shogeanim. Says, any person who visits the sick, he saved from the din of Gehenim. Shneimar, Ashrei Maskil Eldol, B'yom Ro Yamliteu Hashem. Who's drinking coffee? Is that your coffee? Is that yes? Coffee, not coffee in it?
Water.
That smells good. Smell of coffee. Smell good, boy. Oh, that's why. No, it's okay. I can't drink too much coffee. It doesn't agree with me well. But I love the smell of it.
It's good smell. You get the best.
Right.
It's not instant.
I feel a little energy just smelling, you know. So he writes, Kolam Avaka Yavud Nitzel Midinu Shal Gehenim Shal Ashrei Maskil Eldom. Fortune is the person who maskil, as much as seichel, he remembers, so to speak, he thinks about somebody who's dull, a poor person. Ashrei maskil el dol. Question says, you know, you need a special siyata d'shmaya. Fortune is the person who's able to think about somebody who is sick. Abdallah is somewhat a poor person. Literally means a poor, somebody who lacks something. You know, and derech klal, when you're healthy or you're wealthy, you know, you don't lack anything. You have what you need. So in the better condition that you're in, yeah, the more difficult it is to think about people who are in trouble. You know, it's difficult to think about them. And not only more, but, you know, maskilel dal, to be able to use your mind, your seichel, to grasp the needs of that type of person. That's already a madrega. You know, it's actually very deep and difficult. Gesund. To actually grasp, you know, what are the needs of this person who's sick, you know, who could grasp, you know, when you're, we'll see when we speak about it, part of the concept of bikur cholim is being able to grasp the needs of somebody who's sick in order to take care of them properly. I say, like, whoever knows, you know, you're a healthy person, it's hard to grasp, like, what a draft means to somebody who's sick, you know. I always say, if you're a person who hates drafts, you'll never make it in Eretz Yisrael, you know. In the winter, you know, it's like a world of drafts. You know, people are always hoping that, you know, the houses are made. A normal person, it's no big deal, right? But anyway, a person is able to think. Ashrei maskil eldol. We go about our lives. A person doesn't show up. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. So you go about your lifetime. You don't, you know, to actually stop and say, where is this person? How's he doing? So it says, Ashrei Maskil Eldo. Fortunate is the man who is able to he's able to invest himself into thinking about the needs of a dal, a poor person. B'yom ro yamliteyu Hashem. Says, on a day, an evil day, Hashem will save him. Ein dal el achoyle, the Gemara writes, and there's no poor person except somebody who's sick. There's no truly poor person except someone who's sick. Because if you know, when you're sick, you're left on your own. There's nothing that you can really get and benefit out of this world. So you're a truly poor person, a sick person. He's poor. He has no ability to get what he needs on his own. That's what it means to be sick. You can't even turn on a light sometimes, change a light bulb. So Shneimar, ein dal el achoyle. Okay. So they write, V'yom Ra is referring to Gehenim. The Gemara says earlier, Ashrei Maskil Eldal, and it's a powerful pasuk. Fortunate is the person who's Maskil Eldal and thinks about somebody who's poor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to pull him out of Gehenim for that one day. Maskil Eldal, you know. It's going to be a day where you also are going to be in difficult need. Yeah. Gehenim is also considered a place of poverty. The Maharal writes that Gehenna is a place of Adar. It's a place where you realize truly your full lacks and what you lack in this world. And a situation where you can't help yourself anymore. If you helped another person, and he was sick, and for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mina Keneged Mina is going to pull you out of Gehenna. So the words, we'll speak about it in a minute. The words is earlier, Reb Chal tells a story about this, Ashrei Maskel El Dao. So it tells a story, Reb Chalba was Chalash, Reb Chalba was sick. So Reb Kahana was Rosh Hashiva, Echri, as he announced, Reb Chalba, boyish, you know, boyish means sick. He announced to the Bachrim, Reb Chalba was sick, you know. Says the Gemara, Lo Ikid the Koasa. Nobody came. None of the Bachrim went to visit him. I understand why they didn't go to visit him. They're learning. Who wants to get up and go and spend time, you know, break from Seder, you know, in the middle of your, you know, Limudim, and you'll get better, you know. Hashem Rofei Cholei, you know. You'll get better, you know. What's that?
Learn for him.
Yeah, I'll learn for him. So, you know, somebody, we'll say his name. And this is on the splits of this guy who's in his room. Okay, let's go back to him. Anyway. Nobody came to visit him. Amalu. So Rav Kahana said to his Talmidim, he said, you don't know the Maisa. Rabbi Akiva told him, gave him a Maisa. Says there's a famous Maisa with Rabbi Akiva that once Rabbi Akiva had a student, a Talmud, who was sick. And lo nechus chachamim levakroi, and nobody in Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva went to visit him. Yeah, and Rav Yekiv was the only one who went. You know, the great Rosh Hashiva, everybody was worried about their Bittul Torah. Nobody would go and visit someone who was sick. And Rav Yekiv himself, you know, the great Rav Yekiva, he went Levakroi. Rav Yekiv went to visit him. Ubishvil Shechovad Varovatz Lefonov. And because Rav Yekiva crouched before him, Kiberoto, it's a very interesting language, we'll speak about it. Shekovad v'rovat lefonav. Kovad is lashon kavod. He was mechabed him, and he crouched before him, serving him. Chaya, and the guy got better. After the person came better, got better, he came to Rabbi Akiva, and he said, Rabbi Akiva, I want you to know something. Yeah, that you brought me alive. That had you not come and visited me that day, yeah, I never would have recovered. Hi, Hechi Yasani, you're the one who made me get better. Hechi Yasani. Yotze Rabbi Akiva, when Rabbi Akiva heard this, Rabbi Akiva went out, Vidorash, and he saved, gave the following shir. Kol she'enu mevakav sechoyle ki'ilu shofech domi. Yeah. He said, anybody who's not mevakav sechoyle as the sick, it's as if he's spilling blood. Now, the chiddush of this Gemara is, I think, what was Rabbi Kiva's chiddush over here? The chiddush is that when he went to see this person, so Rabbi Kiva really came back with no idea that he did such a big thing, you know. What did he do? He went and he sat with him, asked him, how are you doing? Maybe he helped him, we'll see. He spent a day or whatever taking care of him. Okay. But he didn't say, he didn't think that because of him he actually had a major impact on his health. He didn't think that. And the Bocher came back afterwards and he said to him, I want you to know that had you not come and visited me that day, I would have died. He was obviously seriously ill. You were the one who brought me alive with that. Then Rabbi Kiva understood something about the mitzvah of Bikur Chol. You know, you know, there's a lot of different aspects to the mitzvah Bikur Chol, Masrei Maskil El Dao. You see that the first thing is, and you know, we never really know, it's a mystery in general, why people get better. You never really know what it means to recover from any illness. It's a mystery. Now, certainly part of it is to ensure that a person gets the right treatment, the right care, physically. That's bottom, you know, level number one in the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, is to be makir and try to recognize what does the person need and to take care of it. So you do it, then you know, obviously if a person doesn't, a person often a person who, you know, needs things, something happens, and like it's yidua that here in Eretz Yisrael, for example, a person's in the hospital, so we don't leave people to stay overnight in the hospital by themselves. You don't do it, right? Somebody in your family is sick, so you go stay with them at night. You don't just leave them there, because that's all the Haredi community, it's portion to you. And even if somebody else you don't know, and when somebody is a kid who's sick, you never leave a child, obviously, but even adults, parents, people always go and stay there in the hospital. First of all, the hospitals are understaffed. They're way understaffed. There's not nearly enough nursing care. And they have one nurse for 30 people, who knows how many people. You know, a lot of people, and they're running around. And the doctors come in the shifts. And often, I know when I've been with people in the hospital, often the person who's there the entire time coordinates the care of the person. You don't realize. Like, you know, it happens, you know, that people go out and they write down on their list what happens. Sometimes they don't even know. They don't even get their medications properly. They don't even realize that they had their medications before. They miss medications. There's a lot to do. Not to mention the simpler things, you know, that sometimes you're there, you know, and once I was visiting someone I remember who was sick, and when I was visiting them, so they had pretty sick, you know, they had these machines, and the machine went off because that's a sign of type of stress, right? So I mean, I'm running around trying to find a nurse, and nurse, you know, in the middle of the night, where is she? I don't know, in some back down the ward, and the thing drinking coffee somewhere, you know, the machine is on, and it's buzzing, and she starts running out, you know, trying to make me, you know, hadn't been there running, it probably would have been 20 minutes before she realized the thing was buzzing on. It's not possible. So, there's a lot to say, practically speaking, simply, you know, go and get a person who's sick with a fever, and, you know what it means to be sick with a fever, and not being able to get a drink of water because there's nobody there to actually give you a drink for an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? So, those are small. Those are small things, right? They're small. Those are small things. However, those small things. That's the first part. You don't realize, as I say, that's what we're trying to say over here. That the actual decision, first of all, about what makes a person get better, you know, isn't so simple. And often even the physical care that you can help a person when you go, that's the first part of the mitzvah that they write. Rabbi Akiva was rovatz beneath him. He himself went out of the way to actually take care of him and see what his needs were. So that's something that we don't realize. You can never underestimate the effect of even small things on a sick person in terms of getting better. That's part number one. Second of all, I just want to say another point that they say, which is important here about visiting, that often you don't realize that when you visit the sick, you know, you try to figure out what they need. Often the needs of the sick, besides taking care of the sick person by themselves, meaning taking care of, you know, their immediate physical needs, but there are a lot of other things that are extremely important that if you're not there to help them, so then those needs won't be taken care of, and it can have a negative result on their recovery. Often people, for example, I remember when I went and visited my father when he was in the hospital in Boston, so he had a pretty bad illness then. He was in an operation, so I went to visit, and I remember that while he was there in this hospital, so he sat on his glasses by mistake, you know, and he broke his glasses. Now, that sounds like not such a big thing, but yeah, if I hadn't been there to be with him, yeah, I had to go and get him a new pair of glasses. Right? That means I had to run to the store and do this and run to the optician. So, you know, it wasn't a small thing. It took quite a few, you know, errands to actually take care of before he got a new pair of glasses. So stop and think about a person who's left in the hospital or left sick without a pair of glasses, not able to see, not able to read. You have no idea what an impact this can make on a human being. Right? That's not his direct thing, but you know, to actually recognize and take care of these things. Not only that, there are other things that people have to take care of. Besides the fact that, as I say, people are sick, you know, when you're sick, you don't have the cough even to turn, you know, to take care of things, break around the house, take care of paying bills. You know, a person worries about whatever, even small things, shirts that have to be picked up in the laundry. There are all sorts of things going on that are necessary if a person's functioning. And if they can't take care of them, it weighs on them and provokes anxiety and all sorts of things. It's not so simple. You know, when it says, Ashrei maskil eldo, that's point number one, which is obvious, but again, to fulfill the mitzvah properly, that idea, what are the needs, even the physical needs of a person who's sick, besides the actual recovery and his health needs, coordinating doctors is a big thing as well. People who are often sick don't have the ability to figure out which doctor they need. You know how many people, when they're sick, what happens is when they're sick is that they don't have the koach to actually investigate who would be the proper doctor for them. So they go down to some clinic and they get some bad ticket, they never get the proper treatment. So it's not pushing at all. And, you know, to take over for a person and say, listen, you need testing, yeah, let me try to figure out who the right doctor is and make calls and get proper treatment. You have no idea how important it is. I'm telling you, people who are sick cannot take care of themselves. And they can't be relied upon to actually ensure that they're getting proper treatment. Often they'll go without seeing a proper specialist for weeks at a time. You go visit them, you're supposed to ask them, how are you doing? Who are you seeing? Are you getting taken care of properly? Which doctor are you seeing? You'd be amazed at how many times I've visited people who were not getting proper medical care for a position because they just didn't have either the knowledge. Yeah, people, Americans especially, people from Chutz La'aretz who come to Eretz Yisrael, they don't have any kesher understanding about how the system works and how to get proper treatment and who to see. They have these specialists, you know, who, you know, Benny Fisher, you know, whatever these people, they have these people who, as a chesed, they spend their time doing research and they make connections with all the specialists in the country. And any person who has a problem, they call them up, and then they give them, you know, they'll give them the list of all the best specialists and people to see based on their condition. That's why they do it as a chesed, and they're experts in the health field here, and they have all the information necessary. That's Mamish Biker Cholim. You have no idea how important it is, how many people's lives they've saved because they've coordinated them proper medical care. Not to mention going and picking up at these, you know, the equipment that people need when they come home. There's so many things in terms of Ashrei Maskil Eldal. That's point number one. In terms of Ashrei Maskil Eldal, fortune is a person who's able to pull himself out of his world and think about the needs of a person who's dal. There's no poor person, somebody who's sick, and grasp what they are. You know, B'yom Roa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pull him out of Gehenna. So they say. The Maharal writes, what's the pshat? Yom Roa Yom Liteyu, Hashem will pull him out of Gehenna. So he says a few interesting things here. He writes, he says what did you do? He says, you're visiting the sick. If a person gets better, even if he's only partially sick, he's not terminally ill. It's just like the Gemara in Bava Kamma writes, Mali Katla Kula, Mali Katla Palda. You know the Gemara in Bava Kamma? What difference does it make whether you kill an entire animal? What difference does it make whether you kill half of it? Which means to say, reducing his life quality is also half killing it. Right? Mali katla kula, mali katla palga. You know, also a person who's half dead and you bring him alive, you know, you're also bringing a person alive. You're giving him life. Isn't that right? You know, this famous Meisen by the Kotzke Rebbe, somebody asked him, so he was very big on, you know, Chassidim are big on Nisim. So they asked him can he revive the dead? His Chassidim once asked him if he could be Mechayim Nisim. So the Kotzke said back, he said, I don't have enough time to worry about the dead. I'm too busy trying to revive the living. I'm spending my whole life trying to revive the living, you know. But damn it, it's like that. People who are alive are also half dead in this world. It's amazing to bring them alive, right? That's what he said. And so it is, people who are sick. Yeah, you bring them alive again by visiting them. Your important role in their recovery. And the Gemara says that you, when a person who visits the sick, it's considered as if you've given person life. So the Gemara, the Maharal explains that as mida keneged mida, yeah, you've given as a person life. So mida keneged mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you life. He says you should know, and he doesn't give you, when Hashem gives life, he doesn't just give you physical life. He says the real true life is spiritual life. And the only true death is spiritual death. As we say that Rishoyim are dead when they're alive, right? And Tzaddikim are alive when they're dead. Real life is spiritual life, not physical life in this world. Physical life that we have isn't real life, and the proof of it is that it disappears. So it can't be true life, because a person dies after a few years, so that means it was never real life. Real life is spiritual life, the life of the soul, and that's eternal. It never dies. So in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, does mina keneged midah, he doesn't do it in a small way. Yeah, that you went out of your way for this person and gave him life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a result, gives you life. He says, there's only real death is Gehenna. Gehenna is spiritual death, he says. And he gives you, he pulls you out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and says, look, he went out of his way. Astral Maskele El Dal Beyom Ro. Yeah, he went down. He thought about what's going on with this person. He needs my help. I have to help him. And he goes and gives him life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when he's in Gehenna, this person, he's done a favor, he knows what, he's in Gehenna. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, how can I leave him in Gehenna? When he was alive, he had one schus, you know, he saved that person. So now, I have to save him as well. How could I not? And he pulls him out and gives him on the schus of Bikur Cholim. Something about right.
Even if he's...
It's what he says. It's that schus. The altar of Sabadki used to say that any bocher in his yeshiva who is bikur mevaker cholim would never get thrown out of the yeshiva. No matter what he did, he could have all the things he held. That was a schus. That was mechaper al hakol. Somebody who came to him with a bocher once who was, don't ask what he was doing in the yeshiva, and he was mashir and everything. And the altar said, that bocher is mevaker cholim. He stays in the yeshiva as a place. Mechaper al hakol. Wouldn't throw him out. It's a bikur cholim. There's another thing that we see from this mind about Rabbi Akiva. That's what he said. Mar also says, "V'yom ro yamiteyu Hashem." He also writes that it's mida kenegin mida. He gives him life because we're mitzvah. How can I let him stay there? He also says it's mida kenegin mida because he saved him. The person who's sick, has a fever, is being consumed by Eish. Right, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu pulls him out. Pulls him out. You saved the person from the age. Being sick is a type of miniature Gehenna, like burning up, a fever. Right? You pulled the person out. Kadosh Baruch Hu pulls you out as well. But anyway, that's what he writes. You've given him life. Now, there's another thing here as well. The Gemara goes further. So that's the first part. The Gemara says, he saves him from Gehenna. Gam Rosh Leyom Roh. Then the Gemara goes further. And if you visit the sick, what's the reward? Asks the Gemara. Mas chara, what do you mean, what's the reward? We already said you're saved from the din of Gehenna. Says the Gemara, no. What's the reward in Olam Hazeh? Ah, you want to know the reward in Olam Hazeh? Pikur Cholim. Hashem yishmareyu v'yichiyeyu. V'asher boretz v'yal titneyu v'nefesh oivam. Says the Gemara, what's the reward in Olam Hazeh? Yishmareyu. He'll guard him from the Yetzer Hara. The person who beat Mevaker Cholim, he's guarded from the Yetzer Hara. V'chiyeyu, he'll bring him alive from Yisurim. V'asher Bo'aretz Yiyer, and he writes, next thing says, third, there are four rewards that you get. The third thing is, Hachol Mechabdi Moisoi. Everybody is Zoche, he'll be Zoche to people to give Kavod. Oh, my phone almost never rings. I forgot to turn it on. Excuse me, I'm sorry. No. So he says, there are four things. He saves him from the Yetzer Hara. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him Kavod. Saves him from Yisurim. V'chol mechabdi ma'isoi. He's zochet to Kavod. And he's zochet to friends. Says the Gemara. The fourth thing that he's zochah to our friends, says the Gemara. Somebody who's mevaker cholam, covered friends, saved from the yetzirah and from yisurim. And they say the type of friends that you get aren't normal friends, says the Gemara. Yeah, not friends like it's just not friends like the friends of Rehovam, but friends like the friends of Naaman, it says. There are two in Tanakh. There are two types of friends. There's the friends of Rehoboam was Shlomo Melech's son, and when he took over, he was young, and he needed an aide to try to figure out what should he do. Yeah, with the rest of Klal Yisrael, should he be strict with them or lenient? So he asked Eitzah from his friends, and the friends told him, "Be strict with them, put it to them, give it to them, show them that you're a real king." You know, so he listened to them, and he was destroyed. They ran away from him and split the kingdom. And he lost his whole malchus because he was too strict. That isn't such good friends, you know. It's a friend that there's no benefit from the relationship. It's the exact opposite. You lose from having such friends. But there's another type of friend, a friend like Naaman, a friend or there was a general who had Saras. Yeah, general had Saras. And there's a general that had Saras. And he came to Elisha Hanavi, Naaman, and he came to Elisha Hanavi. And Elisha looked at him, and he said to him, he said, "You have problems? Yeah, go jump in the Jordan River 7 times, it'll be better." So this general who was from Syria, you know, he got really upset. He didn't want to go and see this person in the first place. He said, "What, I have to go see a Jewish say, you know, no, go to the Navi." So then he finally went to him, says, "This is holy person, he says he can heal people." So, they want to go. Finally went, and the guide looked at him and just "Go jump in the Jordan River and you'll get better." So he went out furious. He said, "You know, why should I go jump in the Jordan River? We have bigger rivers, that little creek, you know, that Jordan River. We have bigger rivers in Syria. That's his job. I thought he was going to do all these spiritual things and heal me and say spells and God knows what, you know. What did he tell me to do? He tells me to go jump in the Jordan." "I could go jump." He could go jump in the river, and that made he got angry. I'm going back to Syria, and he packed up and started going off. So he had a good friend. The friend said, "Naaman, listen, do me a favor." So I said, "What do you have to lose?" "My Yeshua called up, what do you have to lose?" He said, "Yeah, so what? You jump in the river, and nothing happens. So nothing happens. What's the big deal? You took a little swim, you know. You bathed. And if you healed, you're going to lose, you're going to survive. Why don't you at least try it out? What are you getting so, being such, you know, upset about Gaiva? Try it out. What do you have to lose from it? Who's to say?" So he listened to him. He said, "Okay, all right, you're right. I'm an idiot. Why should I? So he went in, and he went into the Jordan River, you know, put his head on 7 times, and he came out with the skin of a young baby. And he went, whoa, he couldn't believe it. And he went back, you know, and tried to give him money and help, and Elisha wouldn't take anything. And goes, the score says, somebody who's zoche, yeah, to be mevak, who's ashrei maskil el dal, somebody who's zoche to be mevak of the chaylem, he's zoche for friends in this world. And friends that are going to be able to help him, yeah, and not injure him. That's the greatest bracha a person can have in this world. Friends that will actually be with you and help you as opposed to bring you down. You have no idea. You know, there's a Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is a famous, you probably heard it, famous mimer about friendship. He's writing about Eov. You know a story about Eov. So, yeah, you know this one about him. He says that Eov, so Job, the sufferings of Job, so the Satan came in Shemayim and said, "You think Eov is such a big tzaddik? Take away from him everything that he has and he'll curse you to his face." So he said to Hashem, what makes you think that Eov is such a big tzaddik? So he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Go ahead, do it." So Eov, the Satan, goes and he takes away everything from Eov, you know, everything that he has. Takes away from his health, gets covered with boils, his children die, his houses cave in, he loses all of his money, he loses everything. Everything he loses. Right? And he puts dust, you know, dust on his floor. For nothing. He didn't do anything to deserve it. It was only the Satan, you know. That's Eo, that's the story of Job. When he sits down, you know, and puts ashes on his head and, you know, curses the day he was born. And, you know, and so it goes the whole, and then you have 40 prakim with, you know, Eov discussing What happens is that Eo has three friends. And when they heard what happened to Eo, they come from far away, from across the world, to sit with him and to be with him while, you know, in his sufferings, and to try to help him. And the whole book is the discussion between these friends. And they all give him aids why it happened to him, and you shouldn't curse, you know, you shouldn't take it badly, and body, there's a reason for it, and really there is no reason for it. You know, and all these things that go back and forth. And in the end, you know, we know Eo comes out of it in the end. But the question that Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks is, the Satan said to Eo, the Satan said to Hashem, yeah, if you take, he had, the Satan had permission to take away from Job everything that was his. Right? So why didn't the Satan take away his friends? That's discussion. He had friends as well. The friends, he left him. You know, so you could touch on, why did he take away his friends?
His wife also.
What's that?
His wife also.
His wife. I didn't ask a question about his wife. Could be his wife ended up cursing him. His wife said to Eo, she said, curse Hashem and die already. That's why his wife, I mean, that's why she's not mentioned. That was his wife. His wife, you know, ate it to him. Curse Hashem and die. So she writes.
Wow.
That's not for a good wife. Anyway, but the friends came. So Rav Chaim answers that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take away his friends is because the friends are the person himself. He says take away, yeah, if you take it, he says, you can take away anything that he has, but you can't touch him. So he said, take away a person's friends, the person can't, he can't live anymore. It's ikar to his life. It's not something external to him. So therefore, Satan couldn't take it. Just take away the take away a person's friends, and you're taking away his life itself. So he writes that. And they say, it's no gay over here. So the Mephoshim ask, what's the Mida Kenegan Mida over here, the Sin Shivavaka the Sikh? Zoch to Chaver. Now, the Simul Pshad is, that's obvious, right? But that visiting the sick, right, one of the ways, and one of the chiyuvim, besides being bikur cholim, besides figuring out the person's physical needs, but one of the things that you can do to actually bring a person out of sickness is to be a friend to him while he's there. That's one of the, to be a friend with him, a chaver, mechaber yourself to that person. And by being mechaber yourself to that person, and being there with him when he's sick, that already is enough to heal him. Now, there are different levels of understanding of this. It's important to know because people often make mistakes about the mitzvahs of chesed. They think, you know, they go and visit someone, and they think, well, you know, I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholim. I'm here. You know, you're lying there in the bed. You know, you feel you want to sleep, and someone, I'm here to fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholim. I'm here. And you feel like this great hero. You know, I've done it. You know, what would you like? You know, and the person is there, like, you know, wants to throw the alarm clock at you. Get out. You know, make some person a guinea pig for your mitzvahs. You know, that's bikur cholim. Yeah, you don't b'chlal care about the person. All you care about is yourself and your own brownie points in Shemayim, right? Like, that's bikur cholim or chesed. It's nothing to do with it. You're fulfilling maybe the actions, but the mitzvah of bikur cholim is a mitzvah to care and be machaber yourself to the person. And if you don't do that, so then you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. And that's one of the main things that saves him. You should know. That's, you know, to be a chaver to the person who's sick, and mechaver yourself to him. Now, even if you don't take care of his physical, he doesn't need you physically. Now, there are different sides to this. Yeah, besides the fact that we've, you know, said before already, that in order to, you can never know, one of the most important things for a person to become better in this world is that he has to have a will to live. It's a clown. And that already is something that's difficult to grasp. It's very difficult to know, as I say, two people have the same illness. One may live and get better and one not. One may get better in 3 weeks, one may get better in 6 months. You know, you don't know. But one of the factors, and one of the most important factors could be, is what is the strength and power of this person who's sick, of their will to live? What is the power of their will to live, you know? And often, people who are sick have a tendency to get depressed. And it's well known that when a person is depressed, so his immunization system doesn't function properly. So there's a much higher percentage of people who come down with serious illnesses who are depressed and not. Well, no, it's documented. And the reason is because depression itself, yeah, depresses a person. Literally, the whole system becomes depressed. And the body can't fight off infection in the same way. Shalom. It can't work in the same way. See, that's what happens. Now, a person, it's the nature of a person to regress when you're sick. First of all, as we said before, you feel isolated, right? You feel isolated. Yeah, you feel alone in this situation. Often people have questions, why me? You know, often people are tortured with worries. Often a person who's sick, your worries become distorted. You exaggerate certain things and you dwell on them and you can't get them out of your head. You know, when you're weak like that, the whole process of a person is like, you know, becomes disrupted. If you're in a hospital, mamish, you're in Gehenna. You can't sleep. There's no night. There's no day. You don't know where you are. You don't know which day of the week it is. Yeah, people are waking you up at 2 o'clock. Strange people. Sometimes doctors come and they stand and they talk to you about you like you're a guinea pig. What do you think we should do to that person? I don't know. It looks pretty bad today. Yeah, and they write it down on the chart and then they go away. They have no idea what happens if you've ever been sick. And, you know, really, which maybe we should operate. You think he'll need to operate? I don't know. It could be we'll cut him open. You know, let's go further. That's what happens. So what happens is that as a result of that, a person who goes in that type of situation, so literally, yeah, by being a chaver to him, the very fact that you're there, and he knows that he's not left alone, and he knows that people are there who are interested in his welfare, that can give him a ratzon to live. It's no joke. Mamish will give him a desire to live, that concept. And you give him that desire to live, right, and he'll recover. Because you are there, mechaber yourself to him. He knows that you're a friend to him. And because he knows that you're a friend to him, he'll live. It's not so pushy. How to give a person a will to live. I remember once I went and visited one of the rabbanim in the Ve'er Yerushalayim, Rabbi Tchaikovsky had a stroke, I remember, a few years ago. It's a really big time. And he runs the Ve'er Yerushalayim. And I remember that he had a minor stroke. It wasn't so minor. It was pretty severe, though. He's recovered, Baruch Hashem. So we went to visit him in the hospital. And I remember when we went to visit him in the hospital, so his wife was there. His wife is a very famous person around Yerushalayim. She's the head of the midwife to post department in Shari Tzedek, and it was Pimpy. But anyway, we went in. Before we went in, the wife said to us, "Listen, do me a favor." She said, "What?" She says, "When he asks you, how are things doing at the school, right, don't tell him fantastic, great, you know, no problem." Why? She goes, "Everybody's coming in, and he's saying, how are things doing at the school?" And everybody wants him to worry. "Great, fantastic, you know, better than when you were there, you know, it's unbelievable, you know, you don't have to worry." So she says, "And everybody go out," and he's losing his will to get better. She says, "Why should I get better? I thought I was important, I thought the school depended on me, and now I see that I b'chlam I needed, it's better than I wasn't there, so why should I get better? I don't know, he's let down. He thought he was important, and now he feels unimportant." She said, "Tell him things are breaking apart, you know, and it's not functioning well at all. Nothing's getting done. The girls are falling apart, you know. Give him a will to get better, and give a person a will to live, you know." That's part of being a chaver, you know. A person is alone, and think about what he needs, and chaver yourself to him. That itself is enough to make a person get better. Besides, there's another Indian of that. That's the second thing, you're zocher to become chaverim tovim. It's part of the Iker Mitzvah, Bikur Cholim, to be a chaver. It's an important sugya that people don't discuss about. We've discussed it a few times, what it means to be a chaver to another person in this world. It's like basic. It's so important in the spiritual development of a human being. And, it, you know, for everyone, it's so important for all of Klal Yisrael, what it means to be a chaver, how to be mechaber yourself to other people. It's, you know, it's key, really, in terms of spiritual development. And it's a sugya in itself. But anyway, that's one thing that we said, that the chaver, being a chaver itself, and bikur cholim, being mechaber yourself to the person, as a result of that, you can give the person a will to live. The deeper pshat, which we spoke about already, a month ago, I think most of you weren't here, but we spoke already once. Remember, we told the story about the Gemara writes, Gemara tells a story about one of the sages, Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, we said he went to visit someone who was sick, and what happened was that he asked him, "Are you happy with your suffering? Chaviv and l'chol yisurim. How are you doing when you're sick? Are you happy with your suffering?" So the guy says, "Lo hein v'lo scharon." Goes, "I don't want my suffering, and I don't want to be sick. I don't want the reward for them. I don't want the suffering, and I don't want the reward." So Rabbi Yochanan says to this person, Rabbi Lazar, he says, "Give me your hand." So the guy gives him his hand, and Rabbi Yochanan pulls him up out of his suffering, and he gets better. Gemara asks the Gemara, "Yeah, why didn't this person who was sick heal himself? Why, he had the ability to heal other people also," and tells a story that he also pulled somebody else out of suffering. "So how come over here he couldn't heal himself?" And says the Gemara, "A prisoner can't let himself out of prison. Ain cholam matzeres, ain osir matzeres on my basis room. There's certain things in life, that when you're on the outside you can let people out, but when you're on the inside, if nobody else will let you out, you're going to be stuck." So the Gemara says, being sick is like being in a prison. You're in a prison, and the only way you can get out, is if another person comes and lets you out. So the Gemara writes, and he says to him there, "Give me your hand," right? He reaches out and grabs him out and he pulls him. So before she asks, how did he actually heal him over here? He healed him, was it magic? What's the idea that he pulled him out of his suffering? And why do you have to say, give me your hand? If it's magic, so, say a spell and pull him out. He says, give me your hand, and he pulls him out. So the simple shot is that he pulled him out of his sickness, because he was mahaber himself to him. He said, give me your hand. The person who was sick, sometimes he reached out for help. That you have to do. There's a tendency of somebody who's sick or depressed that you isolate yourself. You want to lock the door and turn down the shutters and just be alone, and turn over and die. That's what happens when you're depressed and down and sick. And that's the Yetzer Hara. You have to know that in those situations in life, you have to open yourself up to be helped and be affected. Reach out to other people. Give me your hand. And then, once a person does that, another person is able to grab on him. And that's the chibur, that's the connection. He was mechaber himself to him. And since he went and joined himself to him, he pulled him up out of his suffering. So, it's from the chibur himself that you end up giving a person a will to live. And from that connection, you save the person. It's a klal, bikacholim, chibur. The deeper pshat, the Marashua writes, if you remember, he writes there that the person who's healing him pulled out his right hand and grabbed onto the left hand of the person who's sick and pulled him out. And he explained, if you remember we said last time, that there's a general klal, I'm repeating it because it's very important, all of the mitzvahs of chesed are mitzvahs of chibur, the mitzvahs of joining yourself and connecting to other people. And the positive benefits that come from that connection. They're not dumb actions. The mitzvahs of how to join yourself to other people. That's what it's all about. And he writes, that you should know that when you're mechaber yourself to another person in this world, with an ava, so then you become one with him. When you become one with him, you influence him not just physically and emotionally, but spiritually as well, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at you as one. And we know, Chazal say that when a person's sick, he's under the influence of Midas Hadin. A person who's sick, it's like his din is sholeit on him. And it's very difficult to get out of that. That's what they say. A person who's sick, they give him what, the Gemara gives an example that when the cow is down, the shochet sharpens the knife. The Gemara gives an example. When the cow is down, you sharpen the knife. Once he's down already, so then you start, din starts. What's going to happen? It's hard to get out of that already. So that's the klal. When a person is sick, Midas Hadin is ruling over him. And he needs to pull out of that. That's why we give tzedakah for somebody who's sick. We say to him, you have to pull him out of his Midas Hadin. It's not easy to do that. Tefillah, that's why tefillah, we'll speak about that in a minute, to pull a person out of Midas Hadin. So he says, so the Forshim say, but the person who's going to visit him, Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with him with chesed. He's already healthy. Everything's going well for him. If that person is able to reach out and grab onto that person and become one with him, he's a chaber, lachaber also, to join him and become one. So now Hashem is going to stop treating that person with midas hadin because you've reached out to him and connected to him. Because how he deals with you, he'll deal with him now. And the very fact that you grab onto him, you can pull him out. That's what it means to be a vaker l'chola. You're able to change, take off his din by the fact that you went and were machaber yourself to him. So he says, give me your hand. Pulls him out. Right? It's the power of bikur chilim, bikur cholim, and the tzura of the mitzvah to machaber yourself to another person, how you can change his whole situation by doing that. Now, the Gemara says one other thing over here. The Gemara goes further. Yeah, the Gemara says, by the way, he's also, the third thing that a person is zocher to is kavod, he says. He says, he's zocher to kavod. He says, the third thing as well that's necessary to give a person a will to live is to be mechabed him. That we spoke about a little bit already. But one of the things that's so necessary to give a person a will to live is a feeling that his life, that he's important. It's a klal. As soon as you feel that you're unimportant, you want to turn over and die. It's a clown. Why should I continue living? I'm completely unimportant. It makes no difference whether I live or die, so you lose the benefit to live. That's one of the most important things. Viktor Frankl writes that when he was in the concentration camps, so he used to work with people who had lost the will to live, and he used to work with them trying to give people meaning in life. It's a beautiful book that he wrote about how he used to give people chizuk there. The person was an incredible tzaddik, this person. And how in the camps he would be mechazek people to try to get them to give them a will, you know, to life and meaning and these types of things. And one of the things that he used to show people is he used to show people that they're needed and that they're important. They have things to contribute still to the world. They have people who need them. Life needs them. He used to show them that and prove it to them. And then people had the will to go further. So he used to work with people. You're needed. You're important. You know, that's what you're. So they write that when you visit the city, you're machabit a person. You imagine Rabbi Akiva comes and visits somebody who's sick. Rabbi Akiva comes. Imagine the kavod of having a Rosh Hashiva come in and visit you like that. You know, it's enough to give a person a will to live. And that's what the boy said. Rabbi Akiva, Rosh Hashiva came to visit me and brought me along. Ah, you feel importance, you know, a person comes. But that's a clown. The Vilna Gaon writes that the ikkar, the basis of all chesed, the greatest of all chesed, is to mechabed another person. Who ikkar gemilas chesedim is to give kavod to another person. That's the Gaon writes. He says the main way that you give chesed in this world is by honoring another person, showing them their importance. It's the main way to do chesed. You smile at a person. Okay, very good. Not bad. One more on this side. You smile at a person when you greet them, you know. How you do it, you give them attention when they speak to you. That's the ikkar chesed. Because you're showing them that they're important to you. Right? You look at them as being important. This is the main way of doing chesed. That's what he writes. It's very important. And that's one of the most important things to give a person a will to live, is that ability to mechabed them, you know, to give them a kavod. Rabbi Akiva, kovad verovatz lefonov. He was kovad befonov. He mechaved him. He brought me alive with that kavod. So now the Gemara goes further. There's one other nekuda before we stop about here that the Gemara says. Kiyazi Rav Dimi says, Rav Dimi, he said, kolam avakar zacharila gorim lo sheyechia. Anyone who visits the sick causes him to live. That we said already. Anybody who doesn't visit the sick, he's causing him to die. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? He's not causing him to die. He's dying on his own. The Gemara says, you're right. This is what I meant to say. Anyone who visits the sick, he should ask for him mercy that he should live. Yeah, and anybody who doesn't visit the sick, he's not asking on him mercy that he should live or that he should die. says the Gemara that this is the third aspect of Bikur Cholim, besides taking care of his physical needs, yeah, and being a chaver to him. The third yisod, and this is halacha lamaisa, that to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim properly, you're supposed to daven for the person when you're there with him. One of the main reasons why you go to visit the sick is to daven for him while he's there. It's a klal. That's how you end up doing it. Now people ask sometimes, if that's the mitzvah of davening for, I can do that in my house, you know. I'll get up, say a tefillah for him, go back to sleep. What have to go to the hospital for, you know? What's the answer? Anybody know? Why do you have to daven? Why do you have to go visit him to daven for him? Huh? But why? What's that? So I'll tell you a story. Once when I remember understanding this Gemara, there was a friend of mine who his wife got really sick, and she was really almost about, like, people didn't think she was going to live. She had a very serious blood infection. And you know what it means when bacteria goes into the blood and the whole system goes into shock, toxemia or whatever they call it. It's a fatal illness. And she was in the emergency ward, Shari Tzedek. So I went to visit him. I got there, it was late at 9, I got there at 11:30 at 9 or something like that. And I went, and, you know, and I went to see how he was doing. And he was inside with her, you know, and there were a few people outside the emergency ward, Shari Tzedek. So we were there, you know, trying to figure out. Then I knew somebody else who was there, and her husband was there, came out, and we started talking. And then all of a sudden, they heard an announcement over the loudspeaker, you know, emergency call, you know, doctors rushed to the, you know, to the emergency room. And all of a sudden, after the loudspeaker went on, so people started darting and bolting from all over the hospital, like running in, all these doctors with their white coats, you know, slamming in and running, doing it. People were screaming, and the loudspeaker was going on. It was obviously, and they were running to her bed. She entered into a type of crisis, you know. And she, what happened was that apparently she stopped breathing, and she was on, wow, the machine was going on. And, you know, at the time, we were sitting there, and everybody's running, and the husband doesn't know what to do. So all of a sudden, people were there. Everybody grabbed Tehillim, you know. Started saying Tehillim. And people who were in the hospital heard the call and started running over as well. What's her name? Quick, what's her name? You know, and rest out of us, you know, there were about 10 of us are sitting outside. People who were strangers, you see the greatness of Am Yisrael, you know. People who were strangers were there. Everybody takes it to Tehillim. Everybody was davening. What's her name? We're saying Tehillim, commit one after the other, you know, in the middle of it. So I say, you know, believe me, yeah, had you stayed home, you know, instead of tefillah, it wouldn't have been the same. It's the cloud. And this person was a nace, this person lived, Baruch Hashem. To go further. And it was mamish a nace. They wrote an article on her. Newspapers and, you know, medical journals. Nobody thought that she would live. Yeah, it was a nace, pretty much.
Wow.
And, but I'll never forget that night. And, you know, it always makes up what it means to daven at the bedside of a sick person. Because when you daven at the bed, you say, those tefillahs are saved, but that's mamish saving a human being. We believe in the power of tefillah and rachamim, taking mitzvah dinner of a person. Bekoshes rachamim, the person is, you know, ruled over by mitzvah din. You know, mavakesh rachamim, Hashem, rachamim, rachamim. You know, change din to rachamim, the person gets better. It's totally on your tefillahs. That's the ikar avoda. It's a mitzvah. Look at the halachas. Besides that, Chazal say a deeper reason why you should daven at the bedside of a person who's sick. Chazal say, it's also as Mufi in the Halachas Farm, they write that a person who's sick, so the Shechina is present over the bed. And therefore, a person who's sick, yeah, that place is a makom of Kedusha. And as a result, you can daven and your prayers will be accepted because the Shechina is there. Therefore, the Chazal say that even though normally a person should speak, for instance, only Lashon HaKodesh when you're davening, but when you're davening for a sick person, you can speak in any language because you're not going through angels, you're speaking directly to Hashem. That's what they write. The tefillahs at a place where a person is sick are very powerful. And therefore, what's that? For the person who's sick, there's a mitzvah. You can daven for yourself as well, but the ikka mitzvah is because of the ikka cholim. You know, it says if you daven for someone else, you're answered first anyway. But anyway, the ikka mitzvah is to daven for the person. So when you go there, the Mefarshim say, no, what's going on? You go to the place where a person is sick, and you daven there. It's as if you're davening directly to Hashem, and His tefillas, your tefillas are heard. And that's the third level of tefillah, that when you go, therefore there's a mitzvah to actually go to the Mevaker Cholim, to daven there at the place. And that's, you know, unfortunately, you have to be careful how you do it. You have to know the needs. Sometimes you go in, you know, and you see a person sick, you say, Hashem, help me, help me! You know? And the person, oh, you say, I'm going to die! You know, the person's going to be worried, you know, and you promise the person's going to... You have to be careful, you know. Yeah, again, you have to be very careful. You have to know chesed, you have to work on saying the needs of the person. They say if the person's going to get scared, you know, you daven quietly, you don't let them see that you're davening for them. So if the person sometimes doesn't want to see you at all, you daven outside, you ask their name, and you daven outside where they can't see you at all. You know, you have to do it with seichel, like everything. Ashrei maskil eldal. Do it with seichel. But a person who does it properly, so mainly the tefillas of the person there can save the person, bring him along. They say Rabbi Yochanan, pull them out through his tefillas as well. So you see, and that's the klal that Rikin was trying to say. We have no idea. We don't grasp the importance of these mitzvahs. Chavir to a person, daven for the person, take care of their physical needs, and by doing that, you affect their recovery. And because of that, you pull the person out of a type of death and out of midas hadin. So the eish of Gehenna means pure midas hadin. That's the deeper level. The Aisha in this world is the fever of the person in the Aisha of Gehenim. That's Mamish Minas Hadin. This is a person who went and was Mavakar as the Chole, Maskalil Dal, right, and pulls him out of his own Gehenim, Shateh Marachamim, and pulls him out of Minas Hadin. So then the person himself, Biyom Royam Itayu Hashem, the person in Gehenim. This book says, how can I judge that person so strictly? Look how he brought, saved the person's life of that other person, brought him to Rachel, because brought him to Rachel, Nitzel, Medinish, or Gehenim, Zochet to Kavod, because he gave Kavod to that person, Zochet to Chaverim, because he Mechaber himself to the person, and he saved from the Yetzirah, because a sick person has no Yetzirah. Then, as a result, since you saved him from that, you can have a meaning, you're also Zochet, to be saved from the Yetzirah. Anyway, there's much more sugyas about Yikar Cholim. But the Emes, it's one of the Yikar mitzvahs of Chesed. And like all of these mitzvahs, it's very deep in Yonim, how to do it. And, you know, but it's really what makes Am Yisrael Am Yisrael. It's the mitzvahs of Chesed. Cover yourself to another person. Pull him out of his illness.